Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, we've got HeatGate, we've got LTE data issues, but that Retina display is still really pretty.
OMG, Zynga swoops in, Flipboard goes to China, and it's Angry Birds in Space.
All that and change your iPad color if you want to.
Really?
Yeah, on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC. GoToMyPC apps are the missing link for remote access to turn your iPad and iPhone into your office computer. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Use the offer code iPad. And by Slingbox, which can turn your iPad into a television. With the new iPad app from Slingbox, you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you go. Check it out at Slingbox.com. You have imaginary punching bag?
That's right, yeah. That's how I almost took a finger out, actually.
Look at that.
It was in a boxing match, a street fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you should see the other guy.
Oh, he's dead. He died. It's very
Sarah
tragic,
Lane,
actually.
I'm Leo Laporte. We're talking iPad, and we're actually talking new iPad because...
We are.
We're both... Now, you've finally got yours all set up and...
It's good to go.
Anything to report on the setup process?
Well, I took your advice. After last week's show, you had decided to restore everything via iCloud, which is a nice feature, but it was going at a snail's pace. So I backed up to the computer that I normally back up my iPad 2 to, then restored from that backup to the new iPad. And I would say, all told, it was maybe half an hour.
Oh, isn't that great? So much better.
It was really easy.
And you have
easy.
A lot of apps on there, probably.
A ton.
No more Oscars app. You told me you'd finally deleted that
one. Yeah, if I was smart, I would have combed through some of the apps like
I actually
MLB
did.
11 that
yeah,
I don't need
same
anymore.
Same thing. I got rid of that one. I actually did that. I took this opportunity to kind of, and I cut my apps in half. I had over 300 apps on there. Because of the show, I mean, we're always trying new apps, and so, you know, they pile up. Half an hour is fantastic, though.
Yeah, it was really, really quick.
So that's definitely the way to do it. Do it by wire. Don't try to do it over the air. Although you can, and certainly turn on iCloud backup. But here's another word. If you are upgrading and you have another iPad, an iPad 2, you could easily fill up your iCloud backup. You only
That's
get 25
true.
Gigabytes. So make sure you, I ended up doing this, delete your old, once you've got it restored and you know everything's good, delete your old backup.
Mm-hmm.
Take the old iPad 2 off or iPad 1 off the iCloud if it was on iCloud. And you know what, the other thing to remember to do is deactivate, if you're not going to use it anymore, your 3G, because you'll continue to pay monthly on the 3G on your old iPad. It doesn't kind of transfer the account over. Or did it for you?
Well,
I
think it did because I called AT&T. I was having some issues logging into AT&T. I have AT&T LTE, which is still a grandfathered in plan.
Right.
I wasn't
sure. So that
sure.
you want to transfer over.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very important. So. I am one of the, some of you who watch the show are also some of the lucky few who have an AT&T plan that you set up. When the iPad first was announced, because they shut that off about a month after the first generation iPad,
right,
back in 2010, came onto the market. I am still with an unlimited plan, which for many of you who say, well, but then you get throttled and some mess, you're actually not. You're not throttled at all on an iPad plan.
That's what they said.
Not yet.
We're not going to throttle iPad owners.
Yeah. iPhone, absolutely.
Right.
But I can basically go hog wild and, you know, it's like I'm eating too much dessert with this guy and I don't see any repercussions.
So I have, boy, wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it?
I have a Verizon, so I wasn't grandfathered. So I turned off the Verizon on my iPad 2, turned it on my iPad 3. I do have 25 gigs. I should mention the only reason I have 25 gigs is because I moved over from a paid Mobile Me account. So if you're using iCloud and it's just you'd never had a Mobile Me account or your Mobile Me expired before the transfer, you'll only have 5 gigs, and that will fill up very quickly. You can see the way to check is to go to iCloud in your settings. We've talked about this before, storage and backup, and you can manage your backup here. My total storage is 25. I only have 10 left, so that may be where you'd want to turn off the old iPad Even this iPad 3 uses 8.3 gigs. So you definitely want to, you know, manage this or buy more storage.
I'm not sure you should be calling it an iPad 3, Leo.
Well, I'm going to call it whatever I damn well want to.
Well, you're not alone. There are a lot of people who call it iPad 3.
How do I know otherwise, right? Well, I have an iPhone 4 and I have an iPad 3. I need to know.
No, you have the new iPad. Call it iPad
okay.
N.
Okay, that's actually a great question for
iPad.
Audience. When you name your device, what do you call it? What are you calling yours? An iCloud. Are you calling it Sarah's new iPad?
I haven't yet, actually. I haven't been, you know how sometimes when you log into Facebook, it'll say, you're logging in from a new device.
Right.
I always, in the past, had said iPad 2, all one word.
Right.
Previously, it was iPad.
This will be iPad 3.
No, it'll be an iPad.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
New pad.
You do have to name it on iTunes. You just keep the old name? You don't call it like Trixie or Sally.
I think it's just called Sarah Lane's iPad.
Yeah.
It's been long enough since I had the first gen that nobody's confused anymore. So what we do need to talk about, though, before we get any farther into how much we love these iPads, is a little something I like to call Heatgate.
Okay. Let's see.
How warm is she?
It would be underneath where the A5X is.
So if you're in landscape mode, it's lower left.
With the home button on the right, it would be the lower left.
Yeah.
Is it right by where the sound plugs in? Is that where it is?
Yeah, actually it is.
So
well,
I don't.
No,
or is it the other side?
Yeah, it's
it's this side.
It's this guy.
I'll tell you. You know why I don't know? Because I don't. It's all the same. It's all cool.
Now, are you telling me that you have never felt a slight heating even in that lower left hand corner? Because I have. It's just not hot.
Well,
it's
I haven't been using it like crazy. Maybe if I play Infinity Blade for a while. You just talk, do the show, ask me in 15 minutes.
Wonderful. Yeah, actually, I would let you do this, except Tom did this exact same thing on TNT. And there was some slight heating, but nothing crazy.
It's not that warm.
The reason that I'm even talking about this, though, is that
Consumer Reports, that's why.
Consumer Reports and many other publications jumped on the fact that iPad seemed to be a little bit hotter than the iPad 2. But then because it's Apple and because people, I don't know, it's like they want to glom on to some sort of glaring issue. Since that there was the antenna gate.
I'll tell you what's going on.
In the past. That they made a bigger deal out of what was true.
And the Wall Street Journal's guilty of this. It's very, prestigious news organizations like the New York Times and Consumer Reports are prone to this now. It's all about the internet. It's all about driving hits, driving views, and it's the headlines.
Right.
Because often if you read the article, it's like, well, that's not what the headline said. It is. They are trying to drive traffic now. It's a form of sensationalism that I just find anathema, but it's very tempting because you want to make some money. You want to get some views, and we're tempted by it, but we don't do it. We're very careful not to sensationalize our headlines.
That's right.
And it's unfortunate, but I think that's what's going on.
It's unfortunate, especially. For something like Consumer Reports. Not everybody in the world thinks Consumer Reports is sort of the end-all, be-all of the consumer-friendly,
I've subscribed for 25 years.
Well, and you're not alone.
I trust these guys.
That's the thing. Consumer Reports had an initial article that read, the headline read, new iPad, goes up to 116 degrees. And you read that and it's like, well, that must be bad. Because
it sounds
or
hot.
They wouldn't say so.
But remember, your skin is about 98 degrees.
98.6, isn't that right?
Well, the inside is. Skin's a little cooler.
Yeah.
How hot does your laptop get? Much, much hotter than 116
right.
degrees. So.
Well, and then when you read the article, a couple paragraphs into it, it turns out that 116 degrees,
it's only 10 degrees hotter while
you're playing Infinity Blade 2 for 45 minutes.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe you could replicate that temperature, but first of all, it's not going to burn you. And second of all, how often are you going to be playing Infinity Blade while the iPad is plugged in for 45 minutes? Probably not all day, every day.
So the bottom line is, yes, these get hot. Chips get hot. We are running these are gigahertz processors, two CPU cores, four GPU cores. There's a lot of transistors. They do get hot, just as your laptops get hotter than they ever did before. Mm-hmm. Your desktops get hotter. As we get faster chips, they're going to get hotter. And it's a particularly noticeable on a device that's designed to transmit the heat through this aluminum back, which is highly conductive of heat. That's how it keeps it cold. That's why there's no fan. You know, the Windows 8 tablets have big fans in them. And we don't want fans in our iPads.
Do we?
So,
yes. Yeah, because that's annoying when I'm doing any sort of data-intensive stuff
so
on my laptop.
If you're going to have a fast processor, it's going to get warm. Mm-hmm. Apple has done, I think, an excellent job of distributing the heat throughout this conductive layer and inside. It's not abnormally warm. It's not dangerously warm. And it's not even too warm to hold. If it is, bring it back because that's broken.
Right. Yeah, and Apple, in an official statement, pretty much said, you guys are all nuts, and we're not even going to humor you with an answer. But if you have an issue with your iPad and you think something's wrong, contact Apple support. Contact Apple Care. There have been some reports, at least by a few publications, that people have said, oh, I'm getting that shutdown warning that the iPad will give you.
That is not supposed to happen.
That is not supposed to happen. I know one of them came from Boy Genius Report, but then apparently at least one of the people that they cited, and by the way, if you're not familiar with the shutdown, if you go outside in the blazing
heat, if you leave it in the sun in your car,
at the beach, yep. And you're hanging out with your iPad for a while, and for some reason it doesn't bother
you. There it is. That's the warning.
Yeah, that's the warning. Doesn't bother you that you can't read
down.
Anything.
And that's normal. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, it's protecting itself.
Right.
And it's not actually the only device that will do this. There are other devices that are designed to not melt down.
Now, Apple, in the first 3 days, sold 4 million iPads. 3 million iPads.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, now so far we've seen, got that warning.
Well, that warning is not even, that's not even necessarily because of
one.
The iPad itself.
Right.
It might have been because the person was out on a nice hot sunny day in Florida.
I think it's safe. You know, any consumer electronics manufacturer, some small percentage, one hopes a very small percentage, but some small percentage is going to have problems, maybe an overheating problem because of some manufacturing flaw or defect, especially the first ones. The fact is that I think that we've seen very few problems with these iPads. There were some yellowing screens, which we know about. The screen glue cures and the yellow goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But given that they sold 3 million in the first couple of days, I think the defect rate is very low on these. And if you have one that's too hot to touch, bring it back. Apple, which is great, you bring it to the Apple store, they go, oh, here's another one.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
So true. There was that yellowing issue, I remember.
It happens every time.
In the second generation, because I believe Brian Brushwood had a yellowy one.
Yep. And the iPhone 4.
So we were all 4. Scared about it.
Yep.
I never saw anything. I've actually never seen it
I haven't either, but
in real life.
It's a glue issue. It cures, it dries, and it goes away. And, you know, this is what you get if you order. If you are like us, and I don't blame you if you are, and you want to have an iPad on day one, we're getting the very first iPads, presumably, that were
mm-hmm.
manufactured. And there is going to be a higher defect rate, and they're going to see things like the glue is not cured yet. But I wouldn't go crazy. I wouldn't worry too much about it. If you feel like it's too hot to touch, then do bring it in. But otherwise, it's going to get warm. It is going to get warm. There's a lot going on. Mine has not been warm, but I haven't done anything.
Mine has been slightly warm.
Watching movies?
I haven't even really watched any movies on my iPad in the last week.
Yeah.
It's more just, sometimes I sit down on my couch and it's like, I am just on my iPad all night. So I'm doing all sorts of stuff. I'm reading,
Are you holding it in the, see, I don't also not, I have it in that case.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it may not
so
be
there's
able
a little
to feel
bit,
it.
There's, yeah. there's a little layer between you
but
and
you,
it.
You have the smart cover, so you feel the back all the time.
Yeah, I like to go bareback with
you,
the iPad
like
when I'm not transporting it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, it's not the sort of thing where it's, I mean, even a MacBook Air sitting on my lap, after a while, I'm going to be like, oh, kind of hot. You know, I got to.
All laptops do that.
That's just normal stuff. So the iPad is in no way even as hot as a laptop, and certainly not anything that is concerning to me.
Yeah, I don't even think it's as hot as most laptops.
No, I know it isn't. Certainly not as much as my MacBook Pro.
So then there was another sensational headline I was really annoyed by in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
The video speed trap lurking in your iPad.
And what does it mean?
You read
what
that.
What will happen?
And the natural assumption is, oh, my God, Apple has put something in there to throttle it, or AT&T has. No, it turns out that because you have LTE, it's so easy to watch movies, you might watch more. So just be careful.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the speed trap.
You're going to burn through data quicker.
But you don't. Now, this is important. You don't burn through data quicker because a movie's a movie's a movie.
Uh-huh.
On 3G, on LTE, you watch one movie, it's the same amount of data.
So what's going on?
So you might be tempted because it was so nice to watch more movies. So
to download a movie
you
twice
might
as
be,
fast.
No, because you're streaming it, you're watching it. If it's Netflix, it's the same. That's what's deceptive about this. All it's saying is it's such a good experience, you might actually use more bandwidth than you did last time. Not that you, because you, just because it's faster. I think people sometimes think, oh, it's faster, I'll be using more bandwidth. No, you're doing the same things. You're using exactly the same amount of bandwidth. You're only using more because you like it so much, you want to watch more movies. That's the speed trap. It's so good, you might want to watch movies more. Is this a surprise? Is this something bad? Is this something Apple put in to screw us? Is this something AT&T's doing? No! You like it so much, you might use it more. Thank you, Wall Street Journal.
Now, with the LTE models...
That does not, by the way, if you just said that in a headline, Apple LTE is really fast, so you might watch more movies.
Nobody would click.
No hits.
People would say, no duh.
No hits.
And they'd move on to something
so
else.
So the headline writer, who was doing his job, wrote the headline, "Video speed trap lurks in iPad." What?
Now, are there services? I think someone in the chat room said, well, you couldn't watch a 1080p movie streaming over 3G, and now you can with LTE. So
right.
Technically, you have the option to use more data that you didn't have
sure.
before.
Sure, that's true.
When out and about and on the road and at coffee shops and
sure,
stuff like that when you're not on Wi-Fi.
That actually is true. If you decided to watch 1080p movies, it would use more data. You're right.
So there, it's just something where people have to keep in mind what data plan they've got. I mean, what was working for you before may not work for you now if you're consuming more. And I don't want to be like, I'm lucky that I got grandfathered in, but it's like,
yeah,
I don't really have this
nice.
Issue.
It doesn't affect you at all.
It doesn't affect me at all, yeah. But I know that it does affect most people. Most people are not grandfathered
yeah,
in
buying
AT&T plan, so it's just something you gotta keep in mind.
I'm buying I couldn't decide. I got the 3 gigabyte data plan from Verizon, which
yeah.
I think is $35. It's not that expensive. $10 additional gigabyte.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty much how it is anyway. So if you get 50 gigabytes, that's $50. So you're not paying a penalty for
right.
using more. You're just paying as you go. It seems highly unlikely that anybody's going to be greatly shocked by their bill. But the good news is, watch those usage statistics. Here's where you're going to get bit. If you never watched movies on your iPad, you never downloaded or streamed movies on your iPad, most of the time, I think if people are going to buy them on iTunes, they're going to get it on their Mac, right? And then transfer it.
Well, or just download when you're at your home Wi-Fi network because
right.
it's so much faster. Well, with LTE now, maybe it's not so much faster. With 3G,
kind of the speed trap. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe now you can do it on LTE, so you should, just keep that in mind. Use Wi-Fi whenever possible.
Totally.
If you're watching Netflix on 3G or 4G, just remember you're going to be, this is something new that maybe you've never done before, and you're going to be using more bandwidth, and watch that usage so you don't go crazy over. You'd have to go crazy to do
that. Or you'd have to be really into March Madness and watch some of those free games
that's
the NCAA.
That's what they quoted in the Wall Street Journal. Some guy watching a lot of basketball.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, eventually, if you're not on a Wi-Fi network, you are going to burn through your data. That's what's going to happen. But it would have anyway. It's not as if the plans have changed.
Now, they did up the limit. Remember, you could only download apps that were 20 megabytes or less over 3G or 4G.
Correct.
Movies, music, all of that. They've upped that to 50. So 50 megabytes. But see, no movie is 50 megabytes. They're all going to be much bigger than that. So I still don't think you're going to get really big. It's the streaming that's going to bite you. If you do a lot of 3G or 4G streaming, be careful.
Be careful. Unless you have an unlimited plan. And in that case.
You
yes!
shut up.
Yes! All right, so
now, how long, though, if people really do start watching a lot of NBA, before you're going to lose that plan?
Honestly, my advice is if you've got one of these grandfathered AT&T plans,
be gentle.
Do not switch.
Yeah.
Just keep with it because we are getting away with murder. And it's not going to last forever.
Right.
Although I did talk to the AT&T representative last week because I wanted to make sure, I wanted to make sure that no one was going to say, yeah, sure, you're going to be fine, and then I wouldn't be.
Good, that was smart.
And he said, absolutely. Oh, no, yes, ma'am, absolutely.
That's great.
I think that they're in such fierce competition with Verizon, it's nice to have something to hold over Verizon's head.
Now, Billy Joe is saying in our chat room, well, a contract's a contract. Well, look at the contract, because it says we can change this at any time for any reason. The contract is a contract.
It's true.
They have reserved the right to change it. So, in fact, that was what the whole lawsuit was about, the throttling lawsuit was about. If you look at the contract, they can change it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, there's something that you had mentioned to me before the show about a little discrepancy on the iPad charging. I do notice that this little guy the iPad battery is as awesome as it always was, and it's, you know, however much more powerful, but it does take longer to charge.
It does.
It's like an overnight type of a thing.
And MG was the first to notice that because he had a week early, he had the iPad, and he was able to review it. And that was one of the things he said in his review. In fact, it was one of the only negatives he found was you should plan to charge this overnight. And you have found that to be true.
I mean, if you're down to 30%, you know, it's like you can still do a lot of stuff with 30%. But if I'm down to getting into that 20-15 range, you're not going to get it up to full unless you charge it overnight. But that's just a good habit to get into.
I didn't notice because that's how I always did it.
Did you?
I charge all my devices overnight.
Yeah.
Like everything, I get home, plug everything in, and go to bed.
And I don't always remember to do that, but with the iPad...
You have to.
Yeah, you kind of have to. It's like, if you're reading in bed, just have a charger next to it, and that's what you do.
Last thing I do before I go to sleep is I make sure everything's plugged in.
Yeah.
I kiss them all goodnight. I check into Path and say I'm going to bed.
Me too.
And then that's it.
And no one cares but us. But what's the deal about the iPad saying that it's charged 100% but still possibly charging?
This is really interesting and surprise. Jackie Chang, writing about this in the Infinite Loop column at Ars Technica, she's quoting Raymond Sanera, who is a very smart guy. He's the DisplayMate guy. And DisplayMate always does a lot of reports. They're the ones who said whether the Retina display really was Retina when the 4 came out and all of that. So what he did is interesting. He connected a device to his power charger. You know, you can do this. You can charge through a device and watch how much power is getting used. And he noted, even after the iPad said it was at 100%, it continued to charge for as long as an hour afterwards. So if you want to maximize the life of your iPad, wait an hour after it gets to 100% because it's apparently continuing to charge. That's something I'm sure Apple will fix in a firmware update. That just means changing when it says 100%.
Right.
May have something to do with the huge capacity of the battery.
So it's not really that the battery is bigger than we thought. It's that the 100% is more like 89.
It's misreporting, I think, 100%. I think you could fix that in software. He says, I measure the power drawn by the AC adapter and found that it continues to charge for up to 1 hour. This affects the battery runtime because if you stop charging when it says 100%, you may be stopping too soon. He says this is not unusual. Other tablets and smartphones also lie about their charging status. So if getting maximum battery runtime is crucial, people need to keep their devices recharging for longer than the screen claims. So, I guess that 100% is its best guess as to whether it's full or not. So not a bad idea to just keep it plugged in a little bit longer. If you're charging overnight, you're charging 8 hours, you're certainly charging it for considerably longer than it needs to. And you don't have to worry about overcharging. Something else, you know, we've mentioned before, Steve Gibson has mentioned this on Security Now. The batteries, the lithium-ion batteries in all of our devices now, a couple of things to know about them. First of all, every device, including every separate charger, anything that's responsibly made, has a cutoff. So that once that thing is fully charged, no more juice will be applied. And that's because overcharging a lithium-ion battery can cause it to explode. So they all have circuitry, so you cannot overcharge it.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, people often are – there's a lot of mythology about how to maximize battery life, deep discharging, always fully recharged, you know, all sorts of things. Here's the bottom line. This is absolute fact now on lithium-ion batteries. First, it's fine to keep them plugged in at all times. They can't overcharge, and they will last longest if the charge is maintained at 100%. If you're storing the battery, it'll store the longest at 50%. So if you're using it every day, as you do, as I do, it's fine to keep it plugged in whenever you can. It's better to keep it plugged in whenever you can. You don't have to deep discharge. You don't have to condition it. Lithium-ion batteries don't have the memory effect. Just keep it charged. Keep it as 100% as long as you can, as much as you can. And if you're going to store it for any length of time, store it at 50% if you can. That's all you need to know, period.
Good tips, tech guy.
Thanks Steve Gibson for that, because he did quite a bit of research on that.
Thank you, Steve Gibson, as well. Before we move on, just want to remind everybody that we record this show live on Thursdays, 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And it's really fun. You can chat with us live. We've got a good conversation going in there, people giving us feedback in real time.
Yeah.
I do, too. I love our chat room. And I know a lot of you watch live. You don't want to chat, and that's fine, too. So thank you for tuning in when we're actually recording the show. But if you ever miss it, don't worry about it. You can go to twit.tv/IP. IPT. That's our show archive. It's a lot of fun. You can hang out there and look at what we talked about on show 89. That was actually a really fun show because that was the day that we unboxed our new iPads. Well, I did anyway. Leo couldn't wait.
Yeah, but Sarah had it. You were good. I was impressed.
I wanted to be authentic. I wanted to be organic. Yeah. But that's these are episode pages where if you ever missed anything we talked about or we mentioned an app and you weren't quite sure what it was or how it's spelled, we'll add the links in there for you, plus all of our subscription links. So if you want to just subscribe to the video version of our show or even the audio version, if you choose to listen rather than watch us, you can do that at twit.tv/IPT. And thanks to everybody who has subscribed so far. It's the best way to watch the show.
Yay.
Yeah.
So are you happy now that you've opened it and you've got it going that you love it?
I love it.
Is it the screen that you love the most?
The screen is incredible. I mean, I'm just...
It's beautiful.
I zoom in all the way on articles just because I can.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is that so many of the apps that aren't even necessarily upgraded to Retina yet or our iPhone apps just look better by default. It's just a better experience all around. I also, I'm having fun checking out AT&T LTE in various places because I never had an LTE anything.
What kind of speed are you getting? MG was reporting very fast Verizon
speeds.
Mine
is not as fast in our house, but I used to have AT&T service on my iPhone and I switched to Verizon because my iPhone service was terrible.
But that's San Francisco.
That's San Francisco, yeah. And that was 3G.
Right.
The LTE, AT&T,
Did you do a speed test? Have you done a speed test?
No.
Do a speed test.
Got to. I know I will.
Do a speed test. Because I'm just curious. MG was getting, 50 down?
It's
and
crazy.
15 up?
I'm probably about half of that speed.
Fios speed.
But I'm almost on par with our Wi-Fi at home. Out and about, it ranges.
Yeah.
At the gym the other day, not so fast. But still 3G-ish.
And the other thing, I would love MG to test the speed over time as more people get iPads, and because I have a feeling congestion is going to definitely make a difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the problem with the iPhone as well. That's what happened to many of us.
And JPL4 asks, do you miss the white? Because you got black this time around.
Yes, I do.
I would trade with you, except you have AT&T.
I have AT&T, yeah. This is fine. It's beautiful. I love it. I have no issues, but I do kind of miss the white. I don't know what it is. It's just
I like the white. I just
preference.
Did it so I'd know the difference because I was black
me
before.
Me too.
And
that's why. I'll go back to white
like
next
the
time.
White. I don't. It's fine. It doesn't matter to me one or the other.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. No. Depending on what app you're using, it can kind of bleed off into the white if you've got a white background on a web page, say, or into black.
But black bleeds off too, and in fact, more often you have black. So.
Yeah. So it's fine. It's good. I'm not going to.
I think if I had a choice, I'd prefer a black bezel.
Well, next time we'll go back to
we'll
the
switch.
Way things were.
We'll swap.
And we'll be normal again and not so much in bizarro world.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about GoToMyPC. I have it running on my iPad. That is so slick. But now, you know, we've talked about it being on the iPad for a long time. Now you can use it on your iPhone, too. So what is GoToMyPC? It's the best remote access software out there. I don't know if you heard last week, big exploit in Windows RDP. Remote desktop can be a security issue, and IT departments sometimes worry. There has never been an exploit with GoToMyPC. It is the most secure way to do it for a number of reasons. 128-bit SSL, so even in an open access spot, you're completely secure. It uses something called NAT traversal, so you don't have to open insecure ports on your firewall. There's no, you know, It really is a secure way to do it. In fact, the only security issue is your password. So make sure you use a strong password. Then when you log on and go to my PC to access your office computer, you know you're completely secure. And it's better than a VPN. It's the best way to do this. So here's what you do. Visit GoToMyPC.com right now on your Mac or your PC at work. Click the Try It Free button. Use our offer code iPad and install it. IPAD. Install it now. Just leave. Go home. Go home early, go on a trip, enjoy your life. We're getting beautiful weather all over the country right now, really springtime weather. Go to the pool, go to the beach, enjoy yourself. If they call from work and say, hey, where are you? You need to do this. There's an email. We got you to check. You whip out your iPhone or you whip out your iPad. You log in. There it is on your iPhone, your desktop computer. Windows or Mac, you got a mouse, keyboard, everything. You could do anything you could do at work. Send and receive email, access any program, run it, edit files, save files, access network resources. You could do it all on your iPhone or your iPad. Actually, it's really nice. on the new iPad. It's spectacular. Go, just try it, will you? That's the best way to know. Go to mypc.com, click the Try It Free button, use the offer code iPad, and then download the free app. Yeah, the apps are free on the iPhone, iPad, Android, everywhere. So just get those free apps on every device you use. Then the next time they call and say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have to go back to work. You just use Go to My PC.
Who wants to go back to work?
Not me.
Not me.
No siree, Bob.
Thanks, Go to My PC. We love you. You know who else we love?
Who?
OMG Pop, because they made that addictive game called Draw Something.
Now, this was your pick of the week last week.
It was my app cap. And you
have not played me ever since.
You kind of laughed at me a little bit. I did. Oh, I think it's actually your turn.
Is it my turn,
Leo?
Finally?
I think so.
Because I've been kept, I check in, it says Sarah hasn't made a move.
You laughed, and then all of a sudden you were like, oh my gosh, this is the best game ever.
I played it for an hour on the air after the radio show on Saturday.
Did you?
I think you can thank me for Zynga's purchase of OMG Pop.
Thanks, Leo. I'm sure that the OMG Pop folks are very appreciative that you allowed them to
I'm nudging you. You didn't make a move. I'm nudging you.
I know. I haven't been in there in a while because, he is nudging me. Thank you
I
for the notification.
I just nudged you. You nudge. All right, let's see what Kevin Marks did. Anyway, what's the news story?
The news story is Zynga bought OMG Pop. They bought him for upwards of $200 million. We don't know the exact terms. It might be actually a little bit more than that. But the whole, 2 days ago, the story we talked about on TNT was, should Zynga buy OMG Pop, or are they going to pull a Zynga move
and
just
copy it,
launch a competitor, which is what they did with Tiny Tower. It was called, you guys in chat room would remember. Cloud.
They got a lot of heat for that. So I think it's smart that
but
they
that's something
it.
That Zynga's like, they can do that if they want to. As long as there's no, blatant ripoff that, anybody starts a lawsuit over. But they didn't. They bought OMG Pop.
OMG Pop had a number of games. This is the first one that hit. It hit hard. They were making $100,000 a day.
It was crazy.
Millions of downloads in 6 weeks. It's been very, very successful. But it is kind of derivative. It's just Pictionary. I'm playing right now with Kevin Marks. See if you can figure. I actually drew a cartoon strip for this. He's never going to get this one. This is ridiculous. This is me trying to illustrate a concept. It has to come out of these letters here at the bottom. I think this is way too hard.
Slip on a banana peel?
Yeah, you got the idea. But now the last strip will illustrate the concept that we're trying to get him to spell out. Anyway, some said the company was worth as much as $1 billion, that OMG Pop might have left $800 million on the table.
I believe that was Business Insider that said that, and they said that after the deal was done. So it's like, we can just make up hypothetical scenarios now that that's not going to happen. What I think, and this is kind of my thinking, is that Zynga knows that this game is a hit. Is it going to be a hit forever? No, but it's really, really hot right now, and
it's hot. Is it worth $200 million? Even at $100,000 a day.
But the thing is that Zynga bought Words with Friends in 2010, and they...
Hey, he got it!
Oh, sorry.
That's a hard one to illustrate.
That is very random.
So I had a guy slip on a banana peel, and then the last one, good going. Kevin Marks is smart.
Good work, Kevin Marks.
Wow. I didn't think he'd get that one.
Yeah, you went off on like a weird tangent there, but that's the thing about
that's the game. It's so much fun.
Depending on who you're playing with. Zynga bought Words with Friends from, I'm forgetting the original company, in 2010, doubled their user base in like 6 months. And it was already a really big user base.
I think they're making a lot of money on Words with Friends.
They have a model. Zynga also wants to promote their other games.
Right.
And they can upsell you on special coins and blah, 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 little colors and things like that would draw something. And I think that Zynga knows we don't need a bunch of like gamer people. We want like these regular people who are all of a sudden obsessed with this game. Because there are a lot of people out there who say, "Well, I don't really play a lot of games. I'm not a gamer, but they love this."
Right.
Zynga wants those people.
I don't know what
they
Kevin's
want the masses.
Doing here. This is just the weirdest thing. I don't. What is he doing? Look at this. What is this? So I'm supposed to guess what he's doing here?
There's a fish fight. There's red blood.
He's paying me back for that very bad.
This is horrible.
Is that a cell? Is that a paramecium?
I don't know. Is this conception?
Is it a potato?
Is it a food plate? Is this a lunch menu?
I don't know.
Anyway, are we in a cafeteria?
You can see how addictive this game is. We can't even stop playing on the show.
You know what else is addictive?
What?
iPhoto for iPad It got up to 1 million users in its first 10 days of being available in the App Store.
Well, I think there's no question that if you get the new iPad, you have to get iPhoto. Of course, it runs on the older iPad, too. But this ties to, you know, one of the things I'm very excited about with the new iPad. I really like this camera. I know people are mocking me because they're saying, why are you taking pictures and video with this big camera? But it's so big, you get to see everything that's going on. It's got great software. This iPhoto software is spectacular. It lets you enhance it. It's a little hard to use.
I don't think it is.
Well,
why do you think it's hard to use?
You know, well, we talked about this, and there are tips, there are tool tips in here, but it's not immediately obvious what everything does. I think the enhance button is nice, the auto enhance. I certainly use that every time. But then there's you know, and that's easy.
Well, I
like the flagging. It's very easy to flag something if you like it.
You've got the little question mark button. Remember, we got a tip.
Yeah.
If you ever wonder what something does,
you just
you
do
hit
this,
that question
and
mark,
all of these,
and it reminds you what your little hotkeys are.
That's really huge, and I'm very glad for that. You know, I'm getting used to it. I've gotten to the point now where I kind of know how to use it. The saturate, these are interesting, the repairs. But the fact that we could do all this is just spectacular. It's just spectacular.
I love it.
Wonderful program, and it is worth, what is it, $5?
It's worth it.
It's well worth it.
A cool 5 million or so, since Apple takes 100% of their app profits rather than 30. It's a really good program. If you've got a new iPad,
wow,
do yourself a favor and download iPhoto, absolutely.
And
if you've never used it before.
If you ever have to play draw something, with make sure you have the chat room there, because they know it's paella. That's wrong.
Okay. What? Why are there weird red things at the bottom? What is that?
That's fish.
No. Underneath the plate.
That's the heat.
I do like that paella plate, though. That's exactly what it looks like.
And he had a Spanish flag. Did you see? That was the giveaway. So you guys, the chat room is amazing.
Thank you, Hive Mind. Right. I don't think we would have gotten
paella.
Also, some news in Flipboard news. Flipboard is always, we can't stop talking about Flipboard because they just keep making the service better. They have done something that is extremely smart.
What's that?
If you look at my iPad here, and I apologize, I'm not flipping anybody off, but I can't quite use my my index finger here, so...
Damn,
please do forgive me. But if you go to accounts, you can see that I've already set up, you know, my Twitter account, my Tumblr account, 500 pics, Facebook. This is all stuff that I can pull in from various social networks to read on Flipboard. But now I've got two new options. One thing called Sina Weibo, which happens to be the Chinese kind of Twitter equivalent.
Right.
Over, you know, many, many millions of people are using. And RenRen, which is sort of the Chinese equivalent to Facebook. They're not specific, like, they're not absolute equivalents, but they are basically the Twitter and Facebook of China.
Neat.
Very smart, Flipboard.
Yes.
Not only now do they support Chinese news and language, they have for a while, but they will pull in directly from services that are extremely popular over there already. And if Flipboard can get into the Chinese market, they're good as golden. And a lot of people are using them anyway, but extremely smart. You gotta get into that China market, which is growing at a speedy clip.
It's kind of neat because Flipboard has already had two updates since the new iPad came out, and really enhanced the Retina display capabilities of it. I love cover story on the Retina display; is just fantastic. I just really think they're knocking it out of the park. This is a great app, really great app.
It's a really good. It's sort of a all-in-one app, certainly for reading, that I would suggest to anybody who either has a new iPad or for whatever reason is like, I don't know, I don't know if I need Flipboard. Once you get used to it, it is indispensable.
It's my morning paper. When I get up and I'm eating my breakfast, I have my iPad and I read Flipboard. And because I can bookmark stuff as I go, I showed you several episodes ago how to set up a special Twitter account. This is what I did. That's just for bookmarks. So I retweet, and that automatically bookmarks the stories I want and prepares them for shows like this. It is fantastic.
Got some viewer feedback, as we always do quite a bit this last week, I will say, because obviously interest in the new iPad is at frenzied levels. Chris Fitzgerald wrote us and said, "Hi guys, love the show. I'm a proud owner of the new iPad, upgraded from the original, so that's probably feels pretty great. Wanted to let you know that I went to a Cleveland Cavaliers and New Jersey Nets game this past Monday night, and I saw no less than four people in the section I was in holding up their iPads, taking pictures."
See?
He said one guy on his Android tablet, but for the most part, it was all iPad people. So I believe Leo is right. We will see more and more people using an iPad as a camera, and it won't be that dorky anymore. He also says next time he's at home in Connecticut, he's going to send you a pizza from Sally's in New Haven.
I love Sally's.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah, there's two pizza places in the world, Sally's and Pepe's. Now, I happen to be a Pepe's guy, but that's not to say that Sally's isn't great. And by the way, we don't call it a pizza. We call it a tomato pie, just so you know. Thank you.
Don't you call it a pizza pie?
No,
that's
tomato pie.
That's a little redundant.
Chris, you have made a friend.
You know, until I was an adult, I had no idea that people called pizzas pies. Like when
that's
the moon
Eastern
hits your
thing.
Eye, like a big pizza,
pie.
Never made any sense to me.
Yeah. We don't even call it a pizza pie. We call it
a pie.
A tomato pie.
You get a pie.
Yeah, in fact, if you're careful and you go to Pepe's or Sally's in New Haven, where pizza was invented, that's at least the claim. If you don't tell them you want tomato sauce, they'll give it to you white. No sauce at all.
But why would you want a pizza without tomato sauce?
That's the original.
What? I guess if you were, like, allergic to the nightshade vegetables or something.
No,
otherwise,
it's just it's a tomato something later that came later.
So it's just bread and cheese?
Garlic and clams.
That sounds pretty good, actually. Good stuff. Got a voicemail from, I don't know who, I don't think you said your name, who's looking for apps to give somebody a little help with voice.
Okay.
Howdy, kids. This is Kent McBee. My dad has had a tracheostomy will be in the hospital for at least a month. Is there an iPad app that he could touch words on the screen and have them speak back to us? Thanks very much.
Oh, yes. In fact, we have mentioned this before. It's often used by people with various disabilities. In fact, even children with autism find these apps very, very useful. I'm trying to find the name of the one that we showed. Do you remember off the top of your head? It had icons, and you would touch the icon and it would say the word. You could build whole sentences very quickly. It was really a spectacular app.
There is an app that I wasn't going to suggest on this show because it sounds like your issue with your dad is hopefully temporary. But it's like $150. I know Robert Scoble has spoke its praises because he has an autistic child and it's been really, really helpful. There is an app. It's $2 called Speak It. Text to speech.
I think that might be the
Speak
one.
Speak It! Yeah. Exclamation point! Text to speech. I've looked around a little bit on the internet. There are free versions, but what they have are limited voices. Now, I assume your dad probably doesn't want a free app that's going to have him talking in a female voice. So it seems like Speak It! Text to speech at least gives him some options where he can type, and then he can, you know, hit a button, and basically it can be read out to you, to family members, to anybody that he needs to communicate with. That seems like the best option. Now, if you look at the customer reviews, Speak It doesn't have, you know, it's not like 500 reviews of 5 stars. There are a variety of reviews. So I definitely want to say up front, this seems to be the one most people use and recommend, but it's not necessarily perfect.
We should collate a bunch of these. Here's another one. This is expensive. Because it's a specialty program. It's $160. It's called Augie for speech augmentation. Mm. And it is kind of, I think, a little more what they're looking for. You get, basically for school or work, you'll have buttons. It makes it very fast for you to say things because it has categories. There's a doc for critical communications. So there's, you know, give me some water, that kind of thing. This is used very frequently with people who have speech impairments or who have other disabilities. This is a pretty amazing program. It's $160. It's not the only one. There are quite a few. But as we often find with assistive applications, they tend to be expensive. I think that's probably because it's a limited market. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish they wouldn't charge so much for these kinds of things. But you can organize your vocabulary. So if you're, you know, dad's going to say a lot of things, certain things a lot. I need to go to the bathroom. I want some water. I don't like this.
Right.
How's your mom? That kind of thing. Those things he can quickly set up and press them. So
right.
It makes it very quick and easy for him to communicate. It's applications. That's the one I was trying to remember is Proloquo to Go.
Oh, that's right.
That's the one that we had showed before. Thank you, chat room. And let me show you that one. I think this is probably also equally expensive, but let's just check.
While you're looking for that, a couple people have
mentioned. Yeah, this is even more. It's $190.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Similar idea, though, where you have pictures and categories. and you can very quickly say things. I've seen miracles happen with autistic children and children who otherwise have difficulty communicating with apps like this. They suddenly become verbal. They are actually able to communicate, and so it is an amazing tool. And, you know, for a parent who wants their, you know, is just trying to find out what this kid wants, $190 is nothing. You know, you'd buy an iPad and this, and that's it.
Right.
So, but it may be too much for dad. But there are a lot of choices. This is one that a lot use. I think Augie is another one. And it may be that insurance, Dr. Mom's pointing out, insurance, because he had a trach, can't speak, insurance may well cover something like this as a way for him to communicate. You don't want to have to write it out on a pad all the time.
Well, yeah, and have to be holding it up. A couple people in chat have mentioned there is an accessibility option that you can toggle on and off in your settings.
So you could type something and it would say it out loud.
Yeah. The only thing with that is once you're in the accessibility setting, you have to know how to toggle that setting on and off as well, because everything's being read to you. And there's a slight learning curve, but there is definitely native settings in the iPad that will help you with this.
Yeah, look at that first, because that is free.
Yeah.
And you can, Notepad, he can type what he wants and it'll say it out loud.
There's just that one voice option, sort of Siri sounding.
If you saw the 60 Minutes on autism, I think they were using Proloquo. It was very, very impressive. This is also used on the desktop. And here's another one from the chat room. Called Grace.
Grace,
is that the Grace Picture Exchange? Is that the app? This is $25. So this is a little less expensive. It's kind of same idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have an I want button. This is aimed, I think, more at kids, but it's also for autistic kids and others. And I think this, you know, it just really depends on
stroke or something.
Yeah, I think it just depends on how much your dad,
how
mobile he is. Can he type? Then he might not need it. But this is inexpensive. It's only $25. It's called Grace.
Grace. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for all of those.
Chat room, you rock.
Accessibility apps always strike a chord with our audience, because I know that there are so many of you out there who are like, listen to us. We know that these apps are really helpful, and a lot of you working in the educational field. We got another voicemail from another anonymous gal who has a great suggestion if you're like me and you wish that your black iPad was actually a white one.
On your last show, you were mentioning that you received a new black iPad. Go to Amazon and check out the Great Shield Easy Seal 100% bubble free. Protects your screen, easy to put on, $19.99. It's awesome. That way you can trim out your screen with white for your fingerprints.
Or purple.
Check it out.
Yeah, I went to Amazon. I did exactly what you said. I searched for Easy Seal Great Shield Plus. It's actually $19.95, so it's down 4 cents. But the idea is that it's basically a protective cover that you add to your iPad, which we've talked about in the past. It's been very helpful, especially if you kind of like a matte screen. But it's actually an overlay for the bezel itself. So I could go ahead and change my iPad, if I so desired, to many colors, including white. And it's good for iPads that get wet often. You probably have to be careful about how you put it on.
Purple?
Yeah.
But
it's kind of cool.
I have another solution for
what?
You. Chatroom just told me you have 2 weeks to go trade it in.
Well, I don't really want. I don't. I'm not going to do
Apple
that.
Just
that's
swap it. They'll
too
say,
much of a first world problem.
To say
I have
you didn't
a black
like that
iPad
color.
And I need a white one. Like, I'm not going to be that guy.
But no, but you could be that girl. Just swap it.
Just go ahead and say, "Hey, genius."
Hey, genius. How smart are you?
Hey,
can
genius,
you turn this
catch.
Black iPad into a white one?
Hey,
and
genius.
He'll go.
Want to play frisbee? Speaking of iPads being used for something other than their intended use.
This is the funniest video ever.
It's so weird. Okay, so John sent this to us, and maybe he speaks German. I'm not sure.
You don't need it. It is in German.
Yeah.
I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah. It's
for those of you listening, we'll describe it.
Yeah, it's basically a daughter asks her dad, hey, how do you like the new iPad?
Yeah,
I just got
you an iPad. What do you think? How do you like it?
Sag mal, Papa, habe ich dich noch gar nicht gefragt. Wie kommst du eigentlich mit dem neuen iPad zurecht?
Dad says he loves it. In fact,
gut.
He's chopping vegetables on it. He scrapes the vegetables into the pot. She's looking at him like, are you nuts? Then he takes the new iPad, runs it under the faucet to rinse it off, and sticks it in the dishwasher. Okay.
Look at her face.
What's this?
What? 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 What?
I love this
new iPad. What?
It's so good. And cleans off like a dream.
Muad'Dib in the chat room says, the sound of the knife on the iPad scraping gives me the chills. It's true. It's like, oh.
Good times. Thanks, John.
Good one.
It's been a while since we had some sort of a iPad joke in the media that we could run. So it's nice to know that's alive and well in Germany. iPad is a cutting board. I've heard of weirder things. It would probably work out pretty well. Just make sure you use a dull knife. Want to remind everybody that you can get a hold of us.
We are not recommending that.
No, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. Please,
under
no circumstances do you come to me and say that I told you to use your iPad as a cutting board. You can write us at iPadToday@twit.tv. Thanks to everybody who writes us each week. You can leave us a voicemail. 757-504-IPAD is our Google Voice number. You can also send us a video. It could be a video of you. It could be a video that's iPad related, like the one that John sent us. Just anything. You know, just keep in mind, we love to get your feedback, so keep it coming. And thanks to everybody who makes our show possible each week. We love you.
We love you.
I'm going to get ready for my app cap.
You know who else I love?
What?
Wolf Blitzer.
Why?
Because I'm watching him right now on the Sling Box.
How could that be possible?
Well, I got to tell you, I can watch.
You're not in your living room.
No, but Wolf is. And so thanks to Sling Box, I can watch my home TV system on the iPad anywhere I go. Look, that Whitney Houston's death was ruled accidental drowning. Look at that. See? These breaking news stories. I want to know. Look how good that is, and that's because I've switched to high quality. There's auto, high quality, or standard quality. If you've got enough bandwidth, which we do here, you're going to see the most amazing quality. This is coming from the home TV system. So here's what you do. You get a Sling Box. You're watching the story, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I suspected this was all true,
yeah,
but now
so
it's official.
I guess we should. Yeah, heart disease, cocaine use listed as factors, but she was in the bathtub. And she drowned.
Those things happen.
These things happen.
It's not good.
Sad, very sad. And that kind of really ruins the ad. So I don't know what to do now.
Well, you tell us why it's so awesome that you can
watch. But did you see, you saw that I was able to watch TV even while Sarah's talking. I get bored, I fire up the Sling Box on my iPad.
He does it all the time to me. And when we have our staff meeting each week, which we do right after TNT on Thursdays, that's all he's doing.
And you know what I can't
wait? He's watching his living room television.
You know what I can't wait?
What?
The Olympics.
Oh.
I'm going to be able to watch the Olympics right here.
Good call.
Yeah.
Because it's happening all the time at weird times.
So here's the deal. You get the Sling. This is just, you know, look at the iPad. If you go to my video folder, I've got ABC, I've got Hulu, I've got Netflix, I've got a lot. The iPad is, to me, one of its great uses is a personal television. But there's one thing, if you're a cord cutter, that you miss live, like news, breaking news, you miss live TV, Oscars, Super Bowl, Olympics. And that's where Slingbox is so great. This is like part of your overall strategy. You take the Slingbox. You can buy it at Amazon, Best Buy, Slingbox.com, and you hook it up to your home TV system. It's got pass-throughs. So everything goes into the Slingbox and then on and into the TV. And then the Slingbox gets hooked up to the internet. So really what it is it interfaces your DVR, your set-top box, your Blu-ray, your DVD player to the internet. You log in with a password, and you can watch your TV, wherever you are, on your iPhone, your iPad, your Mac, pretty much anything. The iPad is really a perfect use for this. And look, the quality is spectacular.
Especially if you know, there's like regional games you want to watch. Colin, he's from Philly, and he's like all crazy about Philadelphia, the Flyers and the Phillies.
Exactly.
And like that's where his Slingbox is, so he can just watch that stuff from wherever.
Exactly.
Because he now lives in California.
And look, I'm accessing my DVR
person.
Right here. I can set recordings. I can set new recordings. I've got access to the whole thing right here. Let's cancel out of this. I can change channels. All of this, I control everything from the iPad interface. So I want you to find out more. If you go to slingbox.com/twit, you can find out more. You can find a Slingbox near you. You can go see a demo. It's nice to see this in person and really get a sense of what Slingbox can do for you. It's just fantastic. Slingbox.com turns your iPad into a TV set. And when there's breaking news, you know, it's just iPhone 2, Android phone. It's really nice to be able to do this and watch and see what's going on.
I'll say.
Yeah.
Slingbox.com/twit. Thanks for sponsoring this episode of iPad Today.
Bang!
Hey, rumor has it you've got some app caps down over there.
Would you like to put a hat on?
I would love nothing more.
This is going to make you cry. This is going to make you cry.
You know, Leo, honestly, it would have made me cry more a few years ago before I felt like we were kind of doing
it. We're reinventing it,
aren't
we?
Tech TV our way with even some of the original gang and a bunch of cool new folks.
And we're getting more of the original gang in here all the time, which is kind of nice to have Mitchell now. And, you know, it's fun.
It's awesome.
So I'll wear my app cap. We wear these hats as an homage.
It's right. We say...
I like yours.
Do you like it?
It's a Mustang hat.
I know what it is.
Iron Man championship with the Mustang on it.
You can see my little elf ear sticking
it's
out.
It's a really good hat.
Very, very
you.
Flattering. Thank you. Maybe I'll wear more... I'm going to do
more... You should wear more caps.
Baseball cap type stuff. That's good. You know, it keeps my face out of the sun. We wear these app caps because, well, there's no really good reason. We just like wearing hats. But this is the part of the show...
I've always wondered this. Why do we wear hats?
Because we don't mind looking silly.
When
That's
we said
why.
We're going to do an iPad show and Sarah, you know, created the whole idea and all the stuff, she said, oh, and one more thing. At the end of the show, we'll do the app caps.
Because I wanted a part of the show where we both pick an app. Doesn't have to be like what's on the news. Doesn't have to be some sort of a theme or anything. Just I like this app, you like this app. We'll call them the app caps, and then we can wear caps.
That's all it took for me. I said, I'm in.
You said you're in, and that's great. And now whenever you're out of town and somebody has to sit in for
somebody else has to wear a hat.
They have to wear it because now it's the institution. I mean, we're on episode 90. I'm not going to stop
we're not changing now, even if we don't know why
we don't. We're too far out the gate.
So these are our favorite apps of the week.
Correct. And my app actually is... something very, very different than anything I've seen before in the App Store. And it's actually created by a friend of mine, Robin Sloan, who I used to work with at Current TV. That's how I met him. He was he had a really funny title. I know he left Current TV and went to Twitter, where his title was like Web Futurist.
Ooh.
Yeah, where you go, ooh, you must be really smart. You're a web futurist. You can predict the future. He's now a full-time writer, but he does a lot of writing online as well. But he's always kind of been a think-outside-the-box type of writer. And he created this app, it's completely free, that's basically an essay about the way that we like things online. You know, say that you create a Facebook, you know, you go ahead and click a Facebook like button. And, you know, what he thinks that all means.
I'm confused. So I'm going to tap this and read it?
Yeah,
is that how it works?
Yeah, okay. Imagine that you're basically reading some sort of an op-ed article from somebody.
Okay.
So this is his way of getting the message across in an app that he created. And the message is, he thinks that there's a difference between people saying, oh, I'm liking something on Twitter.
Right.
I'm sharing something on Twitter. And actually loving something to the point where maybe you go back and read it again.
So this is really a presentation.
Totally. And it's so... I mean, first of all, I'm not going to go through this entire thing because, you know, you can see it goes on and on.
Stuff's happening.
Yeah, but he's put a lot of effort into not just getting his point across, but visually changing things up with color, with text.
This is an interesting idea. You know, I give speeches. Maybe this is a good way to deliver speeches.
It's really
your presentation,
and it's sort of it's the.
Is there audio too, or is it just
no?
It's just the words.
It's just this, and as you can see, every time I click it,
something.
I get it's basically I'm flipping the page,
right? And so you read it at your own pace.
You read at your own pace. There are links.
Oh, that's neat.
That are mentioned. That then you go to his website and can follow the exact link afterwards. But this whole thing is one of these concepts where you go, oh my gosh, that's so easy. Why didn't I think of that? But, you know, we didn't think of that. But he did. So, and he mentioned certain books that he loves very much and certain ideas that they have brought up that he thinks
that... Is it a long essay?
No. I mean, we're probably about halfway through at this point.
Okay.
Anyway, the reason that I talk about this is it's... Even if you're interested in Robin's specific essay, and by the way, this is called Fish... And the reason it's called Fish is because
if you teach a man to fish,
well, it's a different fish, but it's a specific
fish.
Story about, you know, looking hard at something rather than quickly skimming over something and kind of missing the message the way that we do online a lot. His whole overarching message is there's a lot of stuff that we are absorbing every day online, and we are missing a lot of the good stuff because we're absorbing things at a rapid pace, and we all know that, and just other ways to look at things. But what's bigger is I want to see people putting together more of these apps because I actually think that the message is stronger this way because I'm reading it more carefully, line by line. He's sort of forcing me to absorb the line, say, oh, okay, and then, you know, clicking it to get to the next line, mm-hmm. rather than kind of skimming through.
Yeah, he's guiding
paragraph
you through
by paragraph. And I love it. So, Robin Sloan, kudos to you, man. I already told you kudos on Twitter, but I think that this is...
And you like the content. You think it's a good...
I think it's a great message. Yeah. But I think it's a really, really good tool to actually think of apps this way. If you're somebody who already has a decent following of people reading your stuff, consider this. It's a free app. It's not
I
like
wish
he's
I had the time. I've wanted to use Apple's author tool mm-hmm. to do a book about how we did Twit and the story of Twit and the people involved. And if I had a little time, it would just be such a great way to do almost a documentary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have text, but you have embedded audio and video and pictures. And you could just, it's just like this. It's a documentary.
Right.
This is an essay in an app. And I think there's a lot there.
Right. I think a lot of people think of the new iBooks tools where it's like, oh, you could make this sort of into an iBook and, you know, the documentary could sort of fit into that. This is actually even simpler.
It's just a standalone.
It's like a standalone.
Do you know what he used as a tool?
Thought. No, I can ask him.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
I will. I'll ask him because it's, again, it's nothing earth-shattering, but the message is very effective.
Yeah.
Again, it's called Fish, available free in the App Store.
Mine is one that we've been waiting for. We talked about it. I know you talked about it on TNT. We've been talking about it. Angry Birds is back. And I have to say, you know, we were going to do this anyway as an app cap.
Yes.
Because it's such a big story and everybody's going to want it. It came out today, Angry Birds in Space. $2, $3. $2.99?
I think it's 99 cents. At least
no,
right.
No, it's more.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Because the first Angry Birds was 99 cents. I think it's $1.99. Anyway,
okay.
I don't care if it's $100. It's worth it. This is easily the best Angry Birds ever. Can I show you?
Please do.
This is so great. I was not a huge Angry Birds fan. Kevin Rhodes told me about Angry Birds.
And you said,
I played it. I played it. I enjoyed it. It was nice to have. I don't have it anymore on any of my devices because I played it. This one is pretty cool. iPad is $2.99. iPhone is $99.
Oh, I see. I was looking at the iPhone price.
This is Angry Birds in Space.
Right.
You are going to totally want it. So what's different? First of all, there's a big movie that starts and everything. But, you know, same idea. They've really updated the soundtrack. It's really great. All new birds, all new styles. It is free on Android. The Android, they're doing that same thing where they're doing advertising base.
Uh-huh.
Well, as you can see, I've already played eight levels, but we'll go to the ninth level just to get... You know what? Let me go back, because I should show you the first level, because it explains a little bit. So now the birds are in space.
It looks totally different.
It looks totally different. This is a gravity field. So you're going to have to use the gravity field. In other words, if I launch the bird and I overshoot the gravity field, it's just going to go through it. If I hit it at the wrong... Well, watch. And the nice thing is it gives you a little trajectory information. Now I'm going to launch the bird and watch. The gravity field will take it and manipulate it.
Ooh.
Now that one's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, that was easy.
Oh, he's showing me he's got to level 16. Chad has got to.
Well, Chad, you're better than
us. All right, well, I'll show you level 9 because level 9, let's do level 8. It gets a little more complicated. So we still have a gravity field, but now we're within the gravity field. Whoops. We're within the gravity field. We've got complicated things to do. You can go straight or you can go backwards.
Oh.
We got a lot more stuff going on.
I see.
You see, so this is a much harder game to play. I think it's more interesting, certainly more challenging. Well worth it. I think that people who are Angry Birds fans will, of course, buy it. But if you didn't like Angry Birds, you might want to take a look at this because this adds some features from other games that we've seen before, like Osmo, mm-hmm. where you have
that
to...
That physics stuff.
Physics. You have to consider more physics, yeah.
Because the original Angry Birds, it's easy to go,
it's still physics, but it wasn't... So how am I going to get under here, get these guys? You know, I can't go straight ahead. I'm going to have to use the gravity field to do it.
You're going to have to get...
Let's see if I can do it.
Ooh.
It's...
No. That was bad, Leo.
That was not
really
so good. Wait a minute. I'm coming around.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
No,
I didn't.
No.
So you
but now
see.
You know.
There's a whole learning curve, and I mean curve to this. It's really, really, really fun. I think you're going to love it. Whoa.
Dad says you got to hit that egg.
I got to hit the egg, huh?
Yeah, that All golden right. egg in there.
Let's get the egg. Boom. I got to hit it straight on, though, probably.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, you get the idea. It's
totally
hard. Chad, of course, has wasted his life.
People in chat room are like, I'm at level 18.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
at level 16.
No, that's what happens. People do that. So you can see those are the first 10, but then there's more here, and then there's more as you unlock. And it really, I have to say, this is the best Angry Birds yet.
Well, I think that that's why people are at these high levels, because
they can't stop playing.
Angry Birds Space was released today, and it's
today.
Like at the number one slot
yeah.
in all app stores.
Yeah.
And people are level 18. Good work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I knew you were going to buy it anyway, folks, because everybody is. But just so you know, I think this is really good. They did a great job.
Yeah.
It's not just Angry Birds Rio and Seasons were just kind of more of the same. This is really a new game and a lot of fun. The same playability as before.
So get ready for another year of Angry Birds to be mentioned in every story about
it's
the iPad and apps, because Angry Birds Space is a whole nother can of worms, but it's $3. So download it, and we can all talk about how many levels we get to.
There is going to be a movie.
Oh, boy.
We hear, yep, yep. This is
it's going to sound like that.
Quite the franchise.
Oh, man. I
and
want
I
that to be in my summer movie draft next year. If I get Angry Birds, I win.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
All right, Leo, we've come to the end of our show. It was a magnificent show, as always. And thanks to everybody who was watching us live and to everybody who watches us after the fact. Thank you so much for downloading the show and subscribing. You're great. You're wonderful.
And we'll see you next time
on iPad Today.
Oh. Oh. Woo!